If you want to save money on your trading card purchases, we have a promo link over at 50cards.shop. Enter the promo code at night to get 5% off your order. Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus at Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast. I'm Atlas.
I'm Rootbeer.
There's no Matt this week. He is at a fighting game tournament. Turns out we have lives outside of this. I keep telling you guys during the weeks that I'm not available that, like, you can do this without me. You've done it exactly one time before, and I think it turned out great. It's just something you guys don't want to do for whatever reason.
Nope.
Yeah. Like, not that I'm advocating for the removal of me on this show, but I'm saying that, like, I don't know. It's interesting to see you guys have your different dynamic without me there. Now we listeners get to see this. And for the other people, you can see more of this every week on Nexus Tangents, patreon.com/nexusatnight. See, I like to plug things. We're recording this on Saturday morning instead of Friday night. That's why I have bedhead. The reason for that was Boucher was like, hey, we have a tiny little announcement that turned out to be nothing because it was just the product schedule up until... Yeah,
that's what these always are.
Yeah, which was... Hang on. Okay, so up through February, which was the Shiranui and Luar deck set, and then another frickin' Token Ranbu set that I don't care about.
I mean, you might have to. The Token Ranbu set was actually meta.
God. Can I just... Do I have to? Do I really have to? Okay.
Like, still getting tops right now, so actually, yes, maybe.
God damn it. I know it's a weird thing to hate, and I think it's just because it... In my head, the simplification of all of the clans into their nations gets undone by them being like, here's a pink one. That's not Lyrical Monasterio. It's something else completely. But now it's meta. Suck it. Like, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. You also have to think about Mushi King.
What in the good goddamn fuck is Mushi King?
It's like this Japanese arcade game where you fight with, like, insects. So it's very popular in Japan. Basically doesn't exist in North America. I'm honestly surprised we're getting this in EN.
Okay.
Like, it came out in set 11 one of the collab nations. Also, a very funny thing is all of them have, like, barcodes on them because you can still use them for the actual arcade game.
That's pretty good marketing. As much as I hate to admit it, but
yeah, we're getting them in English now, and those are also meta relevant, so good luck.
Okay. It's such a stupid hill to die on, but it just drives me crazy, and I'm sorry. In terms of the next few months, November, we get the stupid mask set that nobody asked for. December, we get set 13. If you want to hear more about that, we did a set review on this very podcast stream. Either go look at the rest of the channel, or if you're listening to this on Spotify or something, it's like, I think, two episodes back. Then the Lyrical set, one less episode back than that. And then in February, we get our two deck sets. The anime's over, which is... Yep. Also kind of interesting. Now I'm wondering, so I noticed that, like, that has kind of happened in Yu-Gi-Oh! Where, like, a lot of the new support that comes out isn't really tied to their anime anymore.
And I'm wondering, the anime is Rush Duel.
Yeah. So now I'm wondering, like, do they just... Is Bushiro just going to be like, alright, well, just keeping on without an anime?
I mean, no, we're getting a new anime. So
I literally thought that the guy that they showed looked exactly the same as Yu-Yu. I thought it was just like fan art or something.
Nope. Like nope.
It's everyone.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a mix of like Yu-Yu and Toya. But yeah, the design is very uninspired, but it is actually a new anime. Like, we're getting more. Like, okay. This was one of the major announcements on one of the live streams. Not like the English one, like the usual Japanese one, but they have already announced a new anime. Like, we're getting up to, like, season 10. So they have everything planned up through 2025, as previously announced. Okay. And then we're getting... they have plans for 2026 and beyond. I remember them saying during their, like, investor meeting or something that they plan to, like, scale Vanguard in, like, 2027.
Scale? Meaning or, what?
I don't remember exactly right now, but they had, like, plans for Vanguard, like, going through 2027.
Okay. That's
so, yeah.
Good, I guess.
Like, I'm not sure how you missed the part where the new anime has a different subtitle.
I don't know if you know this, but I can't read Japanese.
It's in English.
So my brain just kind of, like, as soon as I saw, like, a new title, like, nothing. Like, it all just kind of blurred for me.
The yeah. subtitles are in English, though.
Okay, but I'm saying that, like, if it, like, I just didn't bother looking at the second half of the image. I was more like, somebody drew him twice? Is that, like, something? And then I get distracted by something. This is not new for this show. It is me missing key details on something.
Just not sure how you missed it, considering everyone was talking about new anime.
I think I just kind of, like, okay, ever since, like, the end of V, I didn't really pay all that much attention to the anime as a concept. Like, I checked in on the Overdress anime for a little bit, maybe about like 4 episodes, got bored, and then just never went back. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just
so yeah, it's like almost certain that like set 14 and beyond is going to be the new anime.
Okay,
it's just that like we don't have any products planned yet because the anime is launching like next season in winter,
right?
So, and like, in terms of immediate future, it's going to be like Stride Dex and then like the Triple R set, and we're probably not going to get any news until like end of the year towards December.
Mm-hmm. And like, okay, so around this time has been when Bushiroad has historically rebooted. The original series went to, like, I think set 20. V went to, I think, 14. Not counting side sets, but, like, for the main number sets, went up to, like, 14. G went up to 13.
No, G went up to 14.
Wait. Oh, no, because it was 14 and then the Bermuda set, and then that was it.
Yeah.
But, like, around this time is when they've historically rebooted. Obviously, they're not going to do that again because that would kill them. Yeah. But I'm still looking at this going like, they haven't really messed up too bad. So, like, what? Just kind of keep going? Like, there are lots of decks to, you know, put more support towards and maybe reprint Broken Toys for Tamayura and stuff like that. So I doubt they're gonna reboot anything, but you know,
this looks like the transition from OG to G.
Okay.
Like, this is just going to be a soft reboot.
Okay.
Like, might even just be like OG into like Limit Break.
Mm.
Where like nothing about the game has fundamentally changed.
Which is fine. Like, I don't think anyone's gonna be pissed off. No one really is happy whenever you have to start the game over, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
with a new mechanic, and then you got to redo everything under that umbrella. Like, all right, now we got strides. We got to do this. Now we got Legion. We got, like, it's cool to, you know, from a game design perspective, but for a player, you're like, okay, when's my thing going to come out? You know, mm-hmm. you're sitting there waiting. And then for the people who are still coping, like, my thing was good at the end of this other era. I'm going to see how long I can play it into the new era before it gets quashed by the tide of the new thing. So I kind of hope they, like, there's still more to do, I think, in Overdress and with all of these pre-existing ride lines and their little things going on. And I hope they don't leave it behind. Like, Legion was a lot of cash left on the table, so to speak. And I don't want them to make that mistake again, because I thought that was a cool idea that they just didn't do anything with.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say something.
I mean, I don't have anything to say right now. Like, we're in a period of no news because we're like transitioning into a new era of the game.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing interesting to talk about right now, because we, this week has had no reveals, basically.
Yeah, no reveals. In terms of, like, the meta, you have this weird, I wouldn't call it a triangle meta, because it's not like A beats B beats C beats A. They're just kind of making room for each other, which is...
It's also not a triangle meta in Japan.
What is it in Japan?
It's every fucking deck under the goddamn sun in Japan.
I think that's a good thing, isn't it?
Arguably not, because it means that, like, there's, like, two... like, there was a thread about it where it's, like, it kind of depends more on, like, the quality of the gameplay, right?
Okay.
Where, like, whether or not your decision-making actually matters, and, like, being a skilled player, playing the right deck makes a difference. But it's, like, when you have such a wide meta... where all of the you have to be potentially prepared for like 20 different things, but also like a lot of the decks are just aggro right now, so like Youthberg is just a high roll deck. I don't actually know what Bang Dream does because I didn't bother reading those cards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a lot of them are just aggro decks right now, right? Like Prison is relevant again because of the like promo that lets you ride up into the grade 4 early, so it's just like, yeah, if your opponent high rolls you and like blows you out of the game with like Prison or Youthberg, like, bleh. So there's not like very much decision making, and you know, other things like Dredule does another one where it's like, yeah, sometimes they will just high roll you, like they can activate the effect to like reduce your power without having to minus themselves too much, and then just like blow you out before you can really do anything. Like Bastion aggro deck, like I'm looking at what else has can like conceivably top, and like all the new lyrical decks I think are like slightly better, like they're a little bit slower than some of the set 13 stuff, so you feel like you can actually have a game against them, but it does not change the fact that like a lot of decks are just aggro decks right now. There are some like interesting ones. I think the new hero deck, or the hero deck, now that they have their promo that gives them like better defensive ability, like actually like an interesting deck, though that is also still a deck that makes 5 attacks. So it's like, you know, the quality of gameplay, it might not be the best. I can't say for sure because I haven't played like set 13 meta yet, but
right. Yeah,
you know, the argument is like, well, there's just like a lot of shit, but also a lot of them just do the same thing.
And I think we like talked about it where like if the point is to have these ride lines be different decks, but they kind of do the same thing, why not just go back to clans? Like, what's so different about it aside from it being xenophobic? So, yeah, on paper, I think I like having a more diverse meta with more decks, but if, like, you're saying that it's the same, like, they're doing the same thing, just different color, different person.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, all right, like, Leonorn is like, okay, restand your front row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dredule has nothing but restanders. Youthberg is slightly different in that it's restanding your Vanguard, technically speaking. Like Bastion, another deck that's just like make 4 or 5 attacks. Let's see what else. God, it's so hard because there's like so many goddamn things. Yeah, and also just like too diverse of a meta is just hard to prepare for, because this is like, oh, like, which flavor of aggro am I facing off against right now?
Yeah. And in the case of, like, Overdress, there's always that asterisk that I think whenever I see tops, which is, okay, how much OT was a part of the...
I mean, like, not even, like, the OT, just, like, regular triggers do a lot to swing games.
That's true.
Like, if your opponent is dropping their hand and just aggroing you early, if you don't hit a defensive trigger, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, heck, if you just don't draw a trigger in your opening hand, your hand is all, like, 5k shield, sometimes you just end up in a position where you, like, can't guard early because you needed those cards to commit later in the game.
Yeah. And then just, all right, cool, suck on that. Like, it's just not a fun time.
Like, that's people's problem with Standard right now. It's just, like, the ceiling on aggression is so high, there's nothing really, like, limiting your ability to just, like, drop hand and rush. So, like, triggers can swing the game very intensely, because if you're getting aggroed early and you don't hit any defensive, like, that really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but also, like, if you hit an offensive trigger early and push your opponent to higher damage, it's like, even if you do try to, like, minimize how much damage you're taking, you know, a trigger can just completely swing that. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you took a crit, now you're at 4 damage, and I have, like, 3 more attacks coming at you.
At least in premium, you have heal guards and your pseudo-draw triggers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that Bushi hasn't, like, gone over the line with things like that, and the heals that feel like are the situational bigger heals are just not cutting it.
Yeah, they're not, like, the effect heals in D are just bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the fact that, like, high level players aren't even playing it consistently is like... Okay, I'm losing my train of thought, but, you know, it's not a very good sign.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a very good indication of their effectiveness if, like, people are not playing them consistently. Like, a lot of people will just choose to have a consistent 15k shield over, like, the effect heals, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But also because, like, the situations are too narrow and don't account for things that, like, go around them. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, the crit heal, for example, like, the unit with the crit has to, like, gain it from a card effect that's not a trigger, and it has to be the unit that's attacking. It's not like if anything has an additional crit. So, like, Gondiva, for example, the crit's on Vanguard. You're just going to PG that, right?
Yeah.
And, like, in situations where the crit heal does come up, it's like you still have these giant 40k rear guards. If you're in a position where you're not able to just PG the Gondiva, you're probably screwed anyways,
because
you're still having to commit like 2-3 cards to block the Vanguard, and then you have these like 40k columns on the sides. And so, you know, I'm just quickly browsing like the top decks from the recent Japanese events, and a lot of them just don't play effect heals.
Yeah,
but then you know, there's things like, if the same unit attack twice, but like, what about things that call new cards? What about things that like attack from the back row? You know, like Youthburk is one where it's like you make an extra attack with Youthburk, but Youthburk is not restanding and attacking a second time.
It's rewriting, which is like, it's a whole new unit, and it's like, it's just, oh my god, guys.
But then also, like, you have the things that do restand, like, well, Dredruel has both, right? Like, Dredruel gains a crit and also has restanding rear guards, and it's like, okay, well, now I have to find, like, the correct trigger for the situation I'm in. Yeah. Like, what if I drew the crit one, but I'm just needing to block their restanding rear guards right now?
Yeah, and you just, I don't know, guess I'll die. .jpg, like.
Yeah, so just, like, no one bothers playing the effect heals because the meta is too wide now. There's too many different things to account for. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be... You can't put yourself into a position where it's like, okay, well, I know the meta is made up primarily of restanders. Like, that's not true. Because, you know, you have decks that... You have a couple of restanders, like Leonorn, Dredruel, like Bastion, but then you also like Dredruel also gains a crit, Youthberg gains a crit. And then you just have a lot of decks that don't fall into either, decks that are like, okay, I'm going to make an extra attack by like attacking from the back row or calling a new unit from my hand.
Mm-hmm. And suck it. Like, yeah. So once again, the call is renewed. Bushi, more defense.
Please.
There's a reason that I was so happy to put the girl with the bag on her head as the the thumbnail.
And that ended up being like kind of interesting because some lyrical decks are just using her ride line to stave off early aggression.
That is cool. And like it, you know, it's like, no, this is not how you're supposed to play the game or whatever, but like it's interesting. And
I mean, it should be how you're playing the game, right? Like the ride deck is very boring right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I want them to address going in the future, is, like, making the ride line more interesting, because...
When you like, say the ride deck as, like, a whole, or, like, for that nation?
Like, no, like, as a whole, for, like, every nation, like, so many ride lines are just, like, inflexible. Like, so many of them are just, like, set up the gimmick of your deck, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I think that makes for very, like, boring and inflexible, like... deck building right now is just like, well, some decks just need their ride light to function.
Yeah.
And that's very boring because it means like you can't like be very creative. So like I think like Kairi decks for lyrical were using the Sianna ride line for the defensive power, but then you have things like Sharmo, the like LVS, where like part of the gimmick is that you are a combination of Dimension Police and Pale Moon, where you're popping like the archetype name out of your soul. So you just want to use her own ride line because that's the only place you have the archetype name. That's the only way to guarantee they're in your soul.
Right. And yeah. And then compare that to something like, I don't know, fucking Graham Grace, where it wasn't created with a ride line in mind. So when they do give it a ride line, it's the most generic thing in the universe, which means that you get to play around with it. I've seen people, you know, run the original ride line. I've seen people run the blaster ride line, both dark and blade, for different reasons. And it's just interesting to see people experiment like that.
It also makes like trying to integrate D into premium really hard because, again, if your deck just needs the ride line to function and there's no way for you to guarantee that, like that sucks.
There was an idea I had for like a triangle meta episode, which would take a lot of preparation on all three of our parts, but it's you get to use ride line and premium, but you can only use overdress cards. So you can do the discard for the ride, but you have to do that every turn for the first three turns, and you don't get the like auto quick shield thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, something to consider.
Another criticism of the ride line is it also functions as unintentional like deck thinning, because your deck now has like three less cards than it would in other formats.
Right.
So that's another thing I've seen people like floating around. Like, what if we just increase deck sizes a little bit by like three or four cards to both like account for the fact that the ride line is taking cards out of your deck and kind of unintentionally thinning things. And also, just, like, deck building space, right? Like, just the way, like, D works out currently. You have about, like, 26 slots available for rear guards because you have 16 triggers, you know, your four sentinels. And then, like, the other 26 are, like, flex cards. Really, maybe more like 23 because of your persona rides. And so it's just like, that is just so much less deck space compared to like when we had Trigger Sentinels, which I don't know that I like Trigger Sentinels all that much just because of the way they depreciated like glory skills when we made that transition. And it sucks that all of these like old Giera cards don't work as well as they used to.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you had like Sanctitude going, because then glory skills went from no ones to no sentinels.
Yeah.
And then.
But I think like, I think Sanctitude is fine because it's like a one of, yeah. and you can only do one Blitz Order a turn. Like, I think it's fine to have counters to like guard restricts. I don't think guard restrict should be absolute. That makes for a very boring gameplay experience as well.
Right.
But yeah. You know, at this point, this is just like airing our grievances about D since we're at the end of the current like overdress format.
Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess while we're here, like, I also have problems with like persona writing as a concept, right?
Interesting. Why?
Because of the power boost. Like, it makes numbers too big. Mm. Right? Like, look at, I mean, even go all the way back to the very beginning of the game when Bastion was the top deck, right? Like, that was a deck that could already naturally make like 30k columns. And then you start persona riding, and those numbers just get like more and more ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know.
Or like you have what's her face? The thing where it like doubles persona ride, the set order.
Thigreya.
Thigreya, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's not even a huge problem. The deck is like only okay, but
yeah,
you know. So yeah, like Bastion is a very easy example where like naturally hitting like 28k. Just by existing, and then you start persona riding and pushing those numbers like higher and higher, and that's from like the very beginning of the game. You know, like Leonorn is kind of hampered by the fact that she can't persona ride quickly. Like, that's the only thing kind of keeping her in line. Like, if you could just persona ride starting turn four and make like six attacks that are all like hitting like around 30k, that would suck. You know, like, I think that is a problem with Drajuled, where like you're reducing your opponent to like one or zero, which is already effectively giving your front row like plus 10k, and then you can persona ride and make your numbers like even bigger.
Yeah,
and even with the grade four, they like made up for the persona ride by just giving the front row 15k.
Yeah, and then like, now granted, you do have to wait till turn four, which would be when the persona ride was normally happening.
Yeah.
But
that's also like,
yeah,
not great if it's just like, okay, once you reach that turn four and you persona ride, like that marks the end of the game because suddenly all of the numbers go from like somewhat reasonable to like, I hope you have like four cards to guard this attack.
Yeah. Or are at a low enough damage where taking it isn't that big of a deal. That's another thing. Like, guarding early is a big deal in this game, which can just get overtaken by an early OT. Being able to go, all right.
Again, not even an early OT, just an early crit.
Yeah. But just like, because usually what happens is someone swings like, all right, I swing for eight to your eight, and you go, okay, I guard with this crit. If they're on like the Stoichea OT, not only does that overtake your crit, put you at two damage on turn one, which you can then capitalize on future turns, it gives them a huge like swing and advantage. Like, it's the same old complaints about OT that we've had on the show 80 bajillion times.
But also, I think not as many decks are swinging unboosted anymore. Like, a lot of decks are able to early game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's a lot easier to just, like, force the numbers through.
Yeah.
Or just, like, call a bunch of rear guards. So you're like, oh, you block my vanguard, but I'll just put the crit on rear guard. Do you have another trigger in your hand? Like, can you afford to keep guarding this stuff early?
And then you just die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found I've had an easier time if I guard early in overdress, and that shouldn't necessarily be a good thing. Like, I know Bushiroad, whether they've meant to or not, has tried to make the game shorter. In overdress, and that's can be both a good and a bad thing. I'm certainly not a fan. I like a deeper
game. Like, I think the way it's shaked out in standard right now is frustrating, because like sometimes it can just feel like you didn't play the game at all. You know, especially looking at something like coming up, things like Bastion and Youthburg. You know, Bastion is somewhat relevant right now. It doesn't have the owl yet, but I think the deck is still playable. Where it's like, okay, if you like stick to the usual Bastion ride line, which it seems like JP is doing, let me double check. load faster. But yeah, I'm pretty sure people just stick to the Bastion ride line. It's like, okay, they just like call a thing from their top deck and just start like swinging in. You know, and it's like, okay, if they like check a trigger early, like they get a crit or something, or they get like the red OT that lets them restand and make more attacks, it's just like, oh, cool. Like, I'm getting my ass kicked. And then, you know, they actually ride up and they're like, all right, 28, attack with Bastion, restand, 28 again, you know, 28.
Yeah. Bastion has quickly become the thorn in my side, like it was at the beginning of Overdress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because, like, so I've been playing like Magnolia Mask in tournament, mm-hmm. and he's got a thing where it's like, oh, you can get a board wipe once per game. And I'm like, that's fantastic. And then Bastion's like, no, suck it. And then that's it. Like, there's no like counterplay to it. You can swing at his rear guards, but like, do you really want to? Just kill him.
Also, the rear guards are bigger. They're like, yeah, 18, they're all like 18k. I think like the dragon is just 28k on both turns.
Yeah. So dragon's 28k on both turns. You don't want to waste your like persona ride turn swings at those. It's kind of like Volko Gode in Messiah, where mm-hmm. like, if they don't have a way to remove it, they're just going to leave it alone. Cause like, why do I want to build up the power to attack for 40 at mm-hmm. that thing instead of just causing you damage? It's very much a catch 22.
Yeah.
To have them not worry about something. I really kind of wish they had like, I don't know, not Lightning Storm, but some kind of order that was like something.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they haven't done a Raigeki or something like that as a generic normal order.
Like they have for things like Dragon Empire, but yeah, generic, mm-hmm. they have not.
Yeah. And for Dragon Empire, that, you know, it's a hat on a hat, like for the nations that don't, right? Like you're not going to mm-hmm. see like a Dark States, you know, yeah.
Although Black Dark States Dark States does have like a weird amount of removal as well. Like Drajul just wipes the back row by existing.
Yeah. But like, is the back row ever the important part?
It could be. Like if your opponent has like a powerful utility card that they're just keeping in the back row, you sometimes want to get rid of that.
Yeah. It's more situational, but not always. Like against Magnolia, it's a huge fuck you, because it's like, oh, there's most of my attacking force is in the back, and then he goes, okay. But then,
but I also think like another part of the recipe to success is just like being able to aggro the shit out of your opponent and have removal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Youthberk is a top deck right now because it does everything.
Yeah, because custom cards.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess we'll see. Like we're at a the dawn of a new or the same age. We're at a like around this time of year it gets kind of slow
in terms
of like stuff anyway, but
yeah, like next week we're going to get both the Stride deck, so we finally have something to talk about again.
Mm-hmm. But I hope for people listening, you enjoyed this little wrap up, I guess, of Overdress era. What did you think about these 13 plus sets of stuff? Comment down below, or if you're watching this on YouTube, or tweet at us at Nexus at Night on Twitter, Instagram. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/nexusatnight. Thanks to Darren Cole, Josh Jeremy, GR Ali, our $10 patrons. Not only do they get the mention in the audio and in the footnotes down below, they also get their stuff a day early. So that's pretty fun. Or if you just want to throw us $5 a month, you get the whole ass bonus show of Nexus Tangents, where it's Root Beer and I talking about all the stuff that we can't on this show. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's 2 Z's. He'll be back next week. How's about you?
You can find me at Plasma Eclipse.
Find me at Atlas Novak, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or my YouTube channel, The Epileptic Comic. Or you can follow my other podcast, Generation Dan, at Generation Dan, wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks everybody for listening. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm Root Beer.
And have a good night, everybody. I almost waited for Matt to talk.
I'm Matt.